here. So we're in Acts chapter 13. We got into, I think, about verse 27, somewhere in there. But last time I talked about the, I was into the book of Judges, and I was showing you some things, and I had the chart written out here in the book of Judges and how that Israel was out of fellowship with God. I had 93, and I found the other 18 years. It's 111. Okay, so you've got Judges 3:8, there's 8 years. There's 3:13, there was 18 years. 4:3, 20 years. 6:1, 7 years. This is Gideon. Okay, this is the one I found. 10:8, 18 years. And then 13:1, under the time of Samson, 40 years, with a total of 111 years. Okay, and that I knew that Larkin has this thing as 111 years, and I found it. It's 10:8. Okay, so there's the time, all right? So the time element's important. Talking about that principle of human collapse, but I'm going to go through this quickly. We've been through this a little bit before, but I want to put it back up here to show you this, okay? So from Abraham to the time of the Exodus is 505 years, actual time, okay? But Ishmael is usurping that throne for 15 years, okay, in that position. So God looks at it 490. How many times you forgive your brother? 7 times 70, 490 years. Okay, that's so important. You've got the Jubilee, it's 49 years, and then the 50th. You've got Pentecost, it's the 50th, day after the Passover. Okay, it's a day of release, right? And that's when the Holy Spirit comes down in Acts chapter 2. Those things are significant. Okay, then you've got from the time of the Exodus to the dedication of the temple, you've got actual time, 590 years. Israel's out of favor, 111 years. That's what this number's about, okay? To the building is 480 years. When Solomon starts the building of the temple, it's 480 years, but he finishes it, is dedicated at 490 years. So God counts in 490s, okay? And then from the dedication to the edict to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, okay, is actual time, 560 years, but they're in 70 years of Babylonian captivity. So you've got 490 once again, okay? And then you've got from the edict, 445 B.C., as far as you're looking at the calendars, you got to account for the Gregorian versus the Jewish calendar, so we'll say 454, easy math. So you've got Daniel's 70th week, okay? He's prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. There's 483 years from that time to the time the Lord comes riding in the colt, the foal of an ass. All right, and then he's cut off, as it says in Daniel chapter 9. So that what's that leave? You got 1 week left. That's Daniel's 70th week. Okay, and that does not get fulfilled. It is not completed. That thing gets put in abeyance. So you have a parenthetical period right now we call the church age. That Jew is out of fellowship with God. He's not counting that time. So that's how the 70 weeks works. God doesn't look at it like you do. It's all about when that Jew's in fellowship with him, when they're out of fellowship, he don't even count that time. Like I said before, the practical for you as a Christian is when you're out of fellowship with God, it's not even noticed. You're going to see that at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to wish you had time to repent, and you're not going to find a place to repent, just like that profane Esau. That's for the Christian living after the flesh and out of fellowship with God. And that someday your sin will find you out. So there's accountability. Now, if you took all these times, the actual times, all the way back to Abraham, that'd put them about 2139 B.C. Now, I know Usher's got it about 1900 B.C., and that's generally what we say, the same with Job. But if you're looking at actual time and looking at the scripture, it puts them at about 2139 B.C. That's not that far after the flood. That's only a couple hundred years after the flood. Amen? All right, so why is that important? Because this nation of Israel has been put on hold. And here's Paul in Acts chapter 13, and he's about to tell them Jews, salvation's gone to the Gentile. Okay? Amen? And that's exactly what's taking place here. So there's a transition. Okay? All right, let's flip this over to our map. We'll get back into Acts 13. So here's Paul preaching. I told you last week, you look at his style, just like all the Jews. They preach very similar. They'll give you the exhortation. They'll give you the history of Israel when they're preaching to Jews, and then they stick them. Okay? Now, that's what he's talking about here. Let's look at verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning them. All right, so they're hearing the word. Look at 2 Peter 2:8. Hold your place there. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Or 1 Peter 2:8, not 2 Peter. It's 1 Peter 2:8. It says, unto you therefore, verse 7, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. All right, so they had the opportunity. Here's the word. What'd they do with the word? They stumbled at it. It's a stumbling stone. It's a rock of offense to that Jew. All right, go back to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. I still got my directions on here, my map. Isaiah 28. Now, we've been over these passages numerous times, but look at it again. Isaiah chapter 28. Notice where he puts the emphasis, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So they're not milk drinkers or meat eaters. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For the stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. When did that take place? Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. Speaking in tongue, another language. All right, every man heard him in their own language, right? To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Okay, they're stumbling at the word. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So they stumble at the word. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. There's the Talmud. Where'd they get that from? Got it from Babylon. When they got mixed up down there in Babylon for 70 years, that's where that Talmud, that's where that stuff begins. All right, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. That's straight, straight up and down. That's the plumb line. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. All right, so there's judgment. For what? For stumbling at the word. He said, I came to you, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here it is. What'd they do with it? They stumbled at the word. What do we do today? Stumble at the word. People stumble at it all the time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. What do you think the Talmud is? It's fables. Amen. And so that's the principle of human collapse. So for the Jew, it's a stumbling block, and this is what takes place, and it condemns them. When they reject the word, it condemns them. Verse 20, go back to Acts 13, verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. They're just fulfilling scripture. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. All right, so what have you got? You got the death, the burial, the resurrection. That's what Paul's preaching. right? All right, he says this. He says, and there are witnesses unto the people. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. So they're faithful witnesses. Actually, it might be Isaiah 43. Yeah, it's Isaiah 43. I got my Isaiahs mixed up. Isaiah 43. Look at verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. He's saying, go ahead and tell the future. All right, he says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right, so remember I told you last time that one of the two major things that show you the deity of Christ and or God is his prophecy and his creation. How he reveals himself through prophecy to the Jew. He says it's written down. It's not in some other language you can't understand. Here it is, line upon line, precept upon precept. Jesus Christ shows up. He is the light of the world. He is the express image of God. They had been messed up over there in Babylon and in Egypt and worshiping images. And so the true image shows up. And what do? The true image. They reject him. Amen? So here he's calling them to account. He's taking the record to them and saying, listen, here it is. He said, the Lord told me, he said, I won't judge you. Moses is going to judge you. I think it's John 12:48. I'm not quoting it. I'm paraphrasing it. But that's what he's telling them. You're going to be judged by the word because here I am in the scriptures. When he took the two on the road to Emmaus, he showed them all things concerning himself. Did not our hearts burn within us? It's like a fire. Like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. You got a hardened heart. And it takes the word of God to break that heart. Amen? That's what America needs. They don't need a bunch of this singing and a bunch of all this nonsense. They need the word of God. Amen. All right, so there's that. Where am I at? I don't even know. Isaiah 43. Go back to Acts 13. So he's got many witnesses, and they're witnesses unto the people. He's got above 500. Remember that, 1 Corinthians 15, okay? 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings. That's what the gospel means. It means glad tidings, okay? How that the promise which he made unto the fathers, which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, talking about Jews, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's a new birth, right? Just like you. The corn of wheat, look at John 12. John 12, that corn of wheat falls into the ground. Verse 24, he's talking about it here. Verse 23, the paragraph mark. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So when you're buried with him in baptism, raised with him in the newness of life, that's a tight picture. And when you come up at the rapture, that resurrection, you're going to get a new body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul going into this thing in detail. Look at 36. Look what he says. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, if you call somebody a fool in the millennium, what's the danger of? Hellfire. So this shows you the difference between the church age and the millennial reign of Christ, doesn't it? Paul said, thou fool, okay? And that which thou, he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. You're made alive. The spirit is born again. The soul is saved. It's cut loose from the flesh. That's the circumcision made without hands. Amen? All right, that's Colossians. Now he says this, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. Thank God it's not, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So you're going to get a new body. All right, that's Romans 8:23. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, because this thing's dying. This is a dead man. It's just a dead man walking. You all like to watch that Walking Dead, all right? That's what that is. It's a leprous man. Those whatever them demons are, whatever that stuff is, that's a type of a leprous man.
Yeah.
All right, and he's sick from the top of his head down to his foot, Isaiah chapter 1. That's what a lost man is.
Yeah.
That's why it says the wrath of God abideth on him.
Yeah.
He's just a walking dead man.
Yeah.
And that's what you were before you were quickened.
Yeah.
Amen? All right, go back to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 34, it asks concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Thank God for that.
Amen.
All right, when you mess up, God will beat you with a rod, but he won't forget you. He won't cast you away because you're in Christ.
Thank God.
Amen. David's a great type of that, right? Wherefore, that's grace in the Old Testament. Don't tell me that grace isn't all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It is. Amen? It's all the way in there. All right? So he says, wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who's the Holy One? Jesus Christ. You'll see that in Isaiah. I think it's 29 times Holy One shows up. That's Jesus Christ. Even the devil said, thou art the Holy One. They knew it. They're smarter than people. All right, for verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. Okay, there's how, that's what happens to saints. They sleep, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Why did David see corruption? He's got the wrong blood. Jesus Christ has got God's blood, Acts 20:28. Therefore, he doesn't see corruption. Why do you die? You got the wrong blood. You're born wrong. That's why you must be born again. Amen? But he, verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Jesus Christ saw no corruption in the grave. Okay? His body laid there. It did not decay. Your body decays because it has sin. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It's the sin that dwells in you. That's why you die. All right? Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, notice this, the forgiveness of sins, one. Verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified from some things. All things, right? From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses could not justify a man. It couldn't justify murder and adultery. Now God puts those things off in abeyance. Year by year, that's why they had the Day of Atonement, right? Seventh month, tenth day of the year, or seventh month, tenth day. Okay, that Day of Atonement. Priest would take that blood, take his finger, put it on the mercy seat. And that would atone for that nation's sins for a year, but it couldn't take them away. Why was that? It's not eternal blood. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Should be familiar passages by now. Look at verse 1. For law having a shadow of good things to come, that is the millennium, and not the very image of the things, so it's a type, can never with those sacrifices which they offer continually, offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Couldn't make them complete, right? Well, it says in Colossians 2:9, and you are, or 2:8, and you are, no, 2:9, and you are complete in him. You're complete, although you're waiting on your new body. But the way God looks at it, and as far as a court of law, he says they're complete. It's finished. Because Jesus Christ said, it is finished. Can't add to that. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Okay, if it was perfect, they wouldn't have had to come back year by year. They wouldn't have had to go every Sunday and take some bread and some wine and some hooch or whatever and try to take the sacraments. That's a bunch of nonsense, right?
That's right?
But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
Couldn't take them away. Could put them in abeyance. God could forgive, but he couldn't redeem them. Not with the blood of bulls and goats. Notice this, he says, for it is not possible. Remember in the garden, the Lord said, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Did he take it from him? No. Because it wasn't possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So he had to endure the cross, despising the shame, for the glory. Because it wasn't possible, that Old Testament law could not take them away. Now, the purpose, when you go into the law, and people have a lot of confusion about the law. Listen, that Jew, if they didn't keep that law, they were kicked out of the land. That's the Palestinian covenant. We've been through that in Deuteronomy 29. Okay, that if they kept that law, God would let them stay in the land. If they didn't keep the law, it kicks them out. That's that 70 years in Babylonian captivity. Okay, but it couldn't make them perfect. Look at Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3. It's your schoolmaster. Okay, bring you to Christ. Look at verse 21. Now, where's he at right now? Paul. He's in Galatia. He's going to write this epistle to the Galatians. Is the law then against God, verse 21, against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which had could have given life, you couldn't get eternal life through it. Where'd they die? When they died, where'd they go? Abraham's bosom. What were they doing down there? Waiting for him to show up? 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly? When he showed up, he said, "Y'all ready to go? Here I am." They said, "Yes, sir, let's go." "All right, boys. You're going to rise up out of them graves and be a sign to Israel after the resurrection so that they know that what I said is true."
Amen.
Amen. All right, he says, could have given life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Now, they had their own righteousness in the Old Testament, as Paul says, but it wasn't Jesus Christ's righteousness. Because, yeah, they could keep the law as far as the ordinances and sacrifices. If they sinned, they could keep the law. Okay, and I've got a list of folks that did. Hezekiah, David, Joshua, okay, but that didn't make them perfect. They needed a sacrifice, the one effectual sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. All right, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. So this thing has not been revealed yet, and who's it get revealed to? The Apostle Paul. The gospel of the grace of God gets revealed to Paul the Apostle. And that's what he's preaching right here to a bunch of Jews and Gentiles. Okay, now look over here back in Acts 13:39. Notice that thing, 13:39. What's 13 times 3? I got some school teachers in here, and what's 13 times 3? There we go. All right, 39. What's 13 the number of? Rebellion. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. There's 27 in the New Testament. 9 times 3 is 27. That's fruitfulness. There was a curse. How's the Old Testament end? What is it? What is the last word? Curse. What's Genesis end in? It ends in a coffin. What's Exodus begin? Getting out. Type of the new birth. Art thou not a master in Israel? Knowest not these things? You mean to tell me, Nicodemus, you don't know the new birth? It's all through the Old Testament in type.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's got to be revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So you're justified, just as if you'd never sinned. Thank God for that. From whence you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Remember that rich man? He said, well, one be raised up from the dead. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. They don't believe him. They're not even going to believe if one be raised up from the dead. That's what he's telling them here. All right, now, he says, I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. All right, so let's go to Habakkuk. We taught through the book of Habakkuk, if you remember. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1. That's what he's quoting. Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 5. This is to the dispersion. He says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation." Now look at the context. Paul's telling them here, he's quoting from Habakkuk 1:5. And if you're looking at the context, it has nothing to do with what's taking place here in Habakkuk. So he's making a spiritual application, but actually it does have something to do. All right, he says, "You will no wise believe." All right, he's warning them. He's warning them 1:5. After that's coming judgment. The Chaldeans are going to come in, and they're going to destroy that nation. What happens to these Jews that reject the word? What happens in 70 AD? They get kicked out. Titus comes down, destroys Jerusalem. He said, "I'll work a work in your days, and you will not believe it." Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The woman at the well, she's a Gentile. She believes what God says. Look at verse 31. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to meat?" He's not talking about physical meat. "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Amen. He'll work a work in your days, and you will in no wise believe. That's exactly what's taking place. Amen. Got to have the meat. All right, go over here to Acts 13. So he's quoting Habakkuk. God always sends warning before judgment. Is God a fair God? Is he a just God? Shall not the whole judge of the earth do right? Not good, do right. Okay. Verse 42, "When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles sought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. God has rewarded them that diligently seek him." They want to hear more. Okay. "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." All right? The gospel of the grace of God. Now the Galatians had a problem with this, didn't they? Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter, if I could get there. Galatians 5. Now he's going to be writing this later after he plants these churches. But look what he says. "Stand fast therefore," verse 1, "in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." They're trying to put them back under the law. That's Galatianism. That is, by definition, legalism. Okay, that is what legalism is. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." We're going to deal with this in Acts 15. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." So if you want to put yourself under the law, okay, there's 613 laws. Go ahead and keep them. Have at it, man. Why would you try to put yourself back under the law when Christ has already finished the law? That's just stupid. Yeah. But religious people love to do stuff like that. He says, verse 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." That's what he's talking about. He's saying, continue in the grace of God. All right? "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" There's a lot of people that try to put themselves back under the law. Is anything wrong with the law? No, it's holy. However, you don't try to keep the law to be saved, or you don't try to keep the law to stay saved. That's what they're going to deal with in Acts 15 at the council there at Jerusalem. Okay? Because that's exactly what the Judaizers are trying to do. And they're still doing it today. I got a guy upset the other night. I was teaching a Bible study at a brother's house down in Madisonville. And I guess he got upset when I said, well, can a person drink and be saved? Well, it's getting quiet. Well, sure you can, but you're going to lose a crown, the incorruptible crown. But I'll tell you right now, there's some folks out there to think if you drink, cuss, or smoke, then you weren't really saved. Well, I mean, what are you going to say about Peter? Right? What are you going to say when you're doing things in the dark? Now, you could not look at Galatians 5. This is folks, you get into doctrine, there's a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He got mad. As soon as the Bible study was over, he was out the door. I was teaching on temperance. Folks, I was teaching. I wasn't even preaching. And he's 70-something years old, and he's a babe in Christ. Can't take doctrine. Look at Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? He's talking to saved people. Adultery. Can Christians commit adultery? Yes, they can. Fornication. Do it all the time. Some of you in here are probably doing it. Unclean. Let's see here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Can you be unclean? How about lasciviousness? Amen. Idolatry? Well, can you commit idolatry? Covetousness is idolatry. Amen. Idolatry, witchcraft. Can Christians get wrapped up in witchcraft? Sure they can. Hatred? Oh, Lord. I mean, Christians can't hate each other. Variance? Emulations? Wrath? Oh, you'd never have a wrath. Amen. Strife. How about seditions? What's seditions? Overthrowing a government? Isn't that how our country is founded? Sedition? Well, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as a sin of idolatry. Heresies. Oh, you think a Christian can't commit a heresy? There's all kinds of heresies out there. These are works of the flesh, which are manifest, which are these. Let's keep going. Envyings? Oh, no. Nobody ever envies. Murders. Can a Christian commit murder? Mm-hmm. Drunkenness? There you go. There's drinking. Revelings? Can you go to some big reveling party? Go every Saturday when you go down to that football game. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, what's this, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you're living after the flesh, you're going to lose rewards. Right there. Okay? But you're justified. Yeah. But now you're working to get rewards. And you get up to the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to find no place of repentance because you live like Esau, that wicked and profane person. And you're going to find no place for it because you lived after the flesh. That's doctrine. And people can't endure that stuff. That's Pauline doctrine. Amen. All right, go back over here. Acts 13. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, notice this, they were filled with envy. Well, there's envy, strife, division right there. Right? And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. The flesh always persecutes the spirit. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Esau persecuted Jacob. That's the way it is. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. And said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first be spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Said, I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you in Galatians 5. Them that are coming in here trying to put you under the law, he said, I would that they were cut off. That means killed. Amen. Pauline ministry does not line up with modern day ministry. I get so sick and tired of that stuff. Well, we should all just get along. No, we shouldn't. No, we should not. Ecumenicism's for the birds, man. The devil's birds. I don't get along with some of you if you don't line up with that book. Sure, we can go along for a little bit, but at some point in time, you're going to come to it and you're going to split. Or if you go with him, you're drawn away after your own lust. Amen. All right, so here we are in Galatia. He said, salvation has gone to the Gentiles. We're turning from you. Next plate, he's going to finish his missionary journey, and we're going to, his next one, he's going over here to Greece, east to west. And in Acts 18, he's going to say the same things at Corinth. Salvation's gone to the Gentiles. It starts down here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, east to west. When he wants to go up over here into Asia in Acts 16, the Holy Ghost tells him, nope, he forbids him, and he says, you're going over here to Macedonia. East to west. That's how the Holy Spirit moves. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he comes out of the east to west, just like he entered the tabernacle. They entered the tabernacle east to west. That's the moving of the Holy Spirit. When you try to go west to east, you're moving contrary. When Adam left the garden, he went west to east. When Jacob left the land of Canaan and went with Laban, he went west to east. Amen. And when that fool Hitler went into Russia, he went west to east. You go east to west. When the Great Awakening happened in America, it went east coast to west coast. Don't tell me a revival is going to come out of California and come back here. No, sir. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. He goes east to west. You know where most of all your new Bibles are coming from? Egypt. Good old America. United States of America. You know where Mormonism came from? Came from America. Jehovah's Witness? Good old America. Heresies. The Holy Spirit moves from east to west. Amen? So that's what he's saying here. Salvation's gone to the Gentiles. He says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, I've showed you this before. He's talking about Jesus Christ, but Paul applies that to himself, and the Lord himself applies it to him. He says, you're going to carry my message. You're going to be a pattern, just like the tabernacle. You're going to be a pattern, and you're going to carry that message. And that tabernacle was movable. It wasn't stationary. It could move. Amen? And when people didn't want it, God says, okay, let's move it on. All right, now let's continue on here. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All right, so let's get real quick, because this is a Calvinist proof text. Go over here to Romans 2 again. I've been over this a bunch of times with you, but you got to see it. You got to see it. Romans 2. Romans 2, 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, that second advent, who will render to every man according to his deeds. That's Matthew 16, 27. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's these Gentiles. They're coming to hear the word every Sabbath day. God, they wanted light. God gives them more light. He's a light to the Gentiles. Here comes Paul. Here's light. What do they do with the light? The Gentiles accept it. What do the Jews do? They reject it. But unto them that are contentious, did they contend with Paul? Scripture is scripture. And do not obey the truth, and they know not God, and flaming fire taking vengeance. Then that know not God, that's the second advent of Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to do when you don't obey. But obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Did the Jews have that towards Paul? Yes, they did. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And God's going to give every man according to his deeds. Of every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. When it comes to salvation, God didn't respect persons. He don't care what color you are. He doesn't care where you come from. He just cares that you believe on his son. Amen. That you quit all your self-righteousness and you say, Lord, I can't do it. Okay, now,
you're a candidate. You're ordained to eternal life. It's not that the Calvinists try to use that as the irresistible grace and limited atonement, all that nonsense, because they don't know their Bible. Okay? That's the problem. They don't compare Scripture with Scripture. They listen to Calvin and Augustine. They don't listen to Jesus Christ and His Word. You want it? He'll give it to you. You don't? God's a perfect gentleman. He'll let you go your own way. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want him? Here he is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Amen. And that's why you're here today. That's why I'm here. Because I just said, I'll go. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Believed on Christ. Now look at the fruit. What you see me do is not my doing. That's all him. That's just a witness and testimony for all those folks out there, and especially the ones that know me. It's, oh man, how'd he get that? Got born again. Got in the Word. Got called. Just continue going on. That's what God can do. Amen. All right, any questions? Any questions over anything I've covered? Had good liberty today. That's a good thing. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Then next week we'll finish Acts 13. We'll get into Acts 14, continue this journey through the book of Acts. All right, Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for liberty we had in the house today. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the folks that are in attendance and those that are watching online. I pray that they're edified and that it helps them grow in grace and knowledge of you. And Father, we just pray for the service this morning. Pray for Brother Barry as he leads the singing. Pray for the preaching hour, Lord. Just fill your man up with the Holy Ghost. Give him the anointing and the unction that he's going to need to preach. And Father, we just do thank you. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Amen.